In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to wish you all a blessed and happy new year on this first day of 2013. And we celebrate, as we do every new year, with solemnity of the Holy Mother of God. And it is also, our Holy Father has made it the day to pray for peace, the World Day of Prayer for Peace. And it's only fitting, since Our Lady is the Queen of Peace and the Mother of the Prince of Peace, Christ our Lord. We know, though, that when our Lord came that first Christmas, that it was not a peaceful world either. And it still is very much the same, even though it's 2,000 and some years since the first Christmas. In many cases, it's still very much similar. Human nature does not change, even though there's a lot of people out there who try to tell you that, oh, it does change. There's no longer man and woman. It's whatever they want to make it. But human nature does not change. Ever since original sin, mankind has been pretty predictable. And he has a need of the same remedies every year. He needs God's grace. Recently, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, said that during the Christmas octave, he made a statement that same-sex marriage is a threat to humanity. And so Catholics in either Denmark or the Dutch in the Netherlands, I can't remember which country it is, are going to renounce, they want to be debaptized. They want to renounce their Catholic faith because they can't stand this Pope who has denounced this terrible sin of sodomy and this aberration and this abnormality of human nature that so many are trying to make a human right. So our Holy Father is, you know, like the Vicar of Christ, the one who is trying to give the message of peace to the world, just as Christ tried to speak about peace to those. He said, you know, I speak about peace and they speak about war. You know, when you tell people that they have to change their lives and to convert, to give up their sin, instead of turning to God, in many cases they turn to violence because they don't want to give up their sin. That's sad. But it was very much like that in the time when our Lord first came. When our Lord came, there was a ruler of that day who thought it was politically expedient to kill babies, and that he would not, you know, he wouldn't even, you know, found it nothing in a qualm of conscience to kill babies if it furthered his career and his political reign. And we are at the same place today. We have a ruler who thinks killing babies is politically expedient and sees nothing wrong with it. And yet we know that the same message that our Lord came to give is that we must all be converted. For that is the only way we're going to have peace in the world. That the only time that we're going to have the peace of Christ, as Pope Pius XII said, is if we have the reign of Christ. And the reign of Christ only takes place if we submit ourselves humbly to God's message of the good news, which is that we must give up our sin. We must live the Ten Commandments. We must take up our cross and follow him. And that will always be for those who are of the right, you might say, those who are open to God's word, those who are humble, those who realize they need a Savior, those who realize that they're in pretty bad shape without God. They will be ready to receive that message and open their hearts to the Christ child and to the church today, who represents and continues to bring Christ to the nations. That first stable at Bethlehem was the little church, you might say, the beginning of the church, because there was Christ being offered to the world. And today the church is like another little stable at Bethlehem, you might say another cradle, another crib, offering Christ to the world and say, will you not receive this child into your heart, into your home? But for us to do that, we have to get rid of many things that block our hearts from receiving it and experiencing the true peace that God wishes to give us. And so that's why conversion is so important, that we must turn away from sin and be faithful to the good news, to the gospel. Our Lady, of course, is the messenger of peace. She brought the Prince of Peace to us at the first Christmas. Our Lady continues to bring Christ to us. And as we know, at Fatima, she identified herself as the Queen of Peace and gave a peace plan for the world, that we needed to turn away from sin, as we said. You know, stop sinning, you're offending God. She said war is the result of sin. Now, all these politicians out there, wouldn't that be a big revelation to them to realize if they want to stop war, they should stop promoting sin? And she also said to pray. Pray for those who have no one to pray for them, for many souls go to hell. That conversion, as St. Maximian Kolbe reminds us, can only be obtained through grace. And grace can only be obtained through prayer. And many times we maybe waste a lot of our time. You know, sometimes maybe we, even as religious, sometimes can get so caught up in the apostolic efforts that we have that we don't realize that the backbone of what we do, the most important thing we do as religious, and really that has the greatest impact on the world, is when we go to pray, when we spend our half hour or hour of meditation and we truly try to have a heart-to-heart talk with God, that is probably doing more to advance the kingdom of God than all our other efforts. Because that is where, really, the kingdom of God is being established in our heart, is when we have contact with Christ. And that can only come, that contact only comes about when we pray. Of course, when we come to Mass, that's the greatest prayer on earth. But also when we go to pray in the quiet of our rooms, in the silence of our hearts, we must pray. We must ask God for the graces for ourselves and for the world. And we have to have that communion with Him in prayer, or we will be like St. Paul says, noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. We will just be making noise, but we'll not be achieving any kind of true, fruitful effort, fruitful results. In the office today, we look to Our Lady, for she is that great sign, and we're in this year of faith that Pope Benedict called for, you know, Porta Fide, this year of faith in which we are to meditate on the great gift of faith and the truths of our faith. Well, Our Lady is that entranceway into faith, because what is faith but an ascent to what? To Christ, to the Christ child, to believe that this man is the Son of God, that he's not just a man, but he is the man-God, or the God-man, and that requires a great act of faith. And Our Lady is the one who, saying yes to God's will, brought about this great wonder, something that had never existed before. God became man without losing any of his divinity, and that this new wonder in the world, the Son of God coming into our world, was brought about through the humble cooperation and submission to the will of God of our Blessed Virgin Mary. And we can look to her as the one who is the model of faith, because Christ did not have faith. He was God. He knew who he was. But Our Lady exercised faith, par excellence. She's the model for those of us who must make an act of faith every day in the teachings and in the message that and in the Son of God. We must imitate her. And at the Council of Ephesus, where Our Lady was proclaimed Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Church wanted to reiterate this importance of Our Lady's divine maternity, because she is that virgin who Isaiah prophesied who would conceive and bear a son and still remain a virgin. And he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And when the Church proclaimed Our Lady's divine maternity, it bolstered the faith of the people, and they became even more fervent in their love for Christ, because as it says in the readings for this day's feast, it says that Moses saw the burning bush in the desert. And we see the burning bush up there in that far, far left window, my left. And that God worked this wonder for Moses so that he could recognize a divine visitation, that it was really God working, that he saw this bush that was on fire but was not consumed. And the Church points out that when God wants us to take note of something, he works a wonder like that, a miracle, so that we can recognize that it's God speaking to us, that we have to make an act of faith, you know, to see this wonder and say, this is truly something different. And so God worked the same kind of wonder, a miracle for us, in the divine maternity, this virgin mother, who brought forth a son while still remaining a virgin, that in being a mother, she never lost her virginity. And this great wonder God worked for us so that we could therefore recognize the visitation of God, that this divine wonder, that this child is not like any other child. You might say it would take more faith. I believe it would take more faith to believe that Our Lady was the Mother of God if she had 10 children. Because you'd have to say, yeah, this one's God and that one's not. But because God works this miracle that here's this woman, this virgin, ever virgin, who has one son, that we can say, this son is unlike any other son born into the world. And that requires an act of faith. And that act of faith is so important because that is the entranceway into the divine mysteries and into divine life, the life that God wishes to give us to make us truly, as it says, you know, God was born, God became man so that man could become God. God, in the sense, in participating in his divine life. And Our Lady is that doorway, that entranceway into this mystery. And so as we celebrate this new year, some people are probably superstitious because it's 2013. There's probably some people who want to change and go right to 2014. But this is, the reality is that this year is a year of grace. Every year is a year of grace. Every year, every year is a new beginning, is a time to once again be open to God's grace in our lives. You know, in the ancients, they didn't reckon January 1st as the new year. They reckoned March 25th as the new year. Why was it the new year? Because it was the Feast of the Annunciation. You might say when new life, when life itself came into the world through the cooperation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that's when life began. That's when the world was recreated. And for them, March 25th was the new year. That's how they reckoned their beginning of the new year. And so we can look upon Christmas, might say at the birth of our Lord also, as the beginning of life entering into the world. And we begin a new year once again with Our Lady. And we ask her, the Virgin Mother, the great sign, to help all those out there who are looking for happiness, but looking for it in the wrong places, that she will help them to find it. You know, in sacred scripture, God compares the Israelites in one place like a camel in heat, running through the desert looking for its lover. And he says, I kept saying, here I am, here I am. And they kept looking past him. Where is he? And he says, here I am. And God is saying the same thing to us today. Mankind is running around looking for God, and God is saying, here I am, here I am. I'm not hard to find. It's just that we blind ourselves by our choosing to choose sin, to choose darkness over light. But the light will not be overcome by darkness, and Our Lady will help those find it. She is the great sign that points the way to Christ and to peace in the world. Let us pray and ask Our Lady in a special way that the 2013 may truly be a year of conversion for ourselves and for the whole world, that it may truly be a year of grace for the whole world and for the salvation of mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.